Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events relating to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
Polygamy, What Love Is This? We're glad that you joined us. My name is Doris Hansen. I'm the host for the program, and we do talk about polygamy here. Where did it come from? Why is it here? Is polygamy God's command, or is it man's command? And if polygamy is required for salvation, as the early Mormon church taught, and as present-day fundamentalist polygamous groups teach, then why did Jesus Christ pay for our salvation on the cross? This is a live broadcast from Salt Lake City, Utah, which happens to be the polygamous capital of America. This is a live TV telephone call-in show, and our telephone number is 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. We do ask you to call in about halfway through the show. We'll open up the phone lines, and if you have questions or comments or concerns about our subject tonight, you are free to call in. If you would rather contact us by email, please do so. Our email address is tv@aboutpolygamy.com. And if you want to call in, but you're afraid that you'll be, if you're in a polygamy group, maybe you're afraid that you're going to be recognized, you can call in using an alias, call in and just leave a message and we'll answer it without you being on the air, or you can call in anonymously. At any rate, we do urge you to participate in the show. All of our previous programs can be watched on the webpage, whatloveisthis.tv. If you're a new viewer tonight, we welcome you to the show. We hope you enjoy it and just want you to know you can go on that website and watch all of our previous programs there on streaming video. I also would like to remind those who join our discussion group that our next group meeting is December 14th, which is Monday, at 6:30 p.m. And we do invite you to come. If polygamy is in your past, your present, or your future, by all means, contact us and get the information on how to join the discussion group. There is life after polygamy, and we want you to know that. It's a low-key, non-confrontational group that many people have really been benefited from. You can log on to our website, shieldandrefuge.org, to find out more about us, about our ministry. If you would like to donate to our ministry, you can do so there. If you want to learn more about how you can receive the DVD, Lifting the Veil of Polygamy, free, or the book, Is Polygamy Biblical Free, you can find that out on the website. And if you're in a polygamy group and you would like to run, if you have concerns that you want to talk to someone about, you can find our contact page on that website and give us a call. I'd like to give you our toll-free number. It's 877-425-9993. If you're in an emergency situation, please call 911. Otherwise, if you need help escaping, running, or just need someone to talk to, give us a call. We'd love to help you. And remember, everything is confidential. We do not share what you said with any other group. It's no one else's business. Tonight, our special guest is Brent Jeffs. Brent Jeffs was a member. He was born and raised in the FLDS polygamous group, located in the Twin Cities of Colorado City, Arizona, and Hilldale, Utah. The FLDS is just one of the many polygamous groups that's situated in the polygamous West. It's probably the largest of all the polygamy groups, estimated to be somewhere around 10,000 members. They probably own more property than any one of the other polygamous groups, and they've probably been in the news more than any of the polygamy groups lately, and the Kingston group is probably running a close second on that one. The letters FLDS stands for the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which gives lie to the claim that if the name of Jesus Christ is part of the name of your church, it's the only true church. Welcome to our show tonight, Brent.
Thank you for having me.
I'm glad that you could come and share your experience that you had. Now, you wrote a book.
Yes.
And it's called Lost Boy. Not The Lost Boy, but
Lost Boy. Yes.
Lost Boy.
Yes.
And of course, I've read the book. I've bookmarked it. I've put a lot of underlining in it and a lot of tears mm-hmm. while I was reading the book. And I want to thank you for sharing your story. It must have been very difficult the
You're
time
very
that
welcome.
You were doing that. Would you tell us what led you to write your book? Were you afraid to get it published when you were going through the process?
Well, what led up to the point of me writing this book, I've always known that, you know, I needed to do something. I needed to speak out. Unfortunately, it was a very tragic event in my life when I finally decided to take my stand and stand up for myself. Mm-hmm. And when my oldest brother had taken his life, that's when I started my journey and started my crusade in trying to stop Warren from what he was doing.
Okay.
After many, many years of battling him in the courtroom and trying to take him down, I was actually down in Texas when that big raid happened,
mm-hmm.
and I happened to run into someone down there that had heard my story and said, you really need to write a book. You really need to get this story out there. And I knew right then and there that was my time to do this,
yeah.
and to stand up and tell the world about me and about my life and about what happens behind closed doors
yeah.
inside the
mm-hmm.
walls of the
yeah. Were you afraid to write the book, do you think, to get it published and out there? Were there fear of repercussions?
No, not necessarily, because of the fact that of who I was, and I knew I had my family and I had so many people supporting me over all these years of the things I was doing, and
mm-hmm.
so a little bit, I guess you could say I was just a little bit afraid, but for the
yeah.
most part, I knew I'm just going to keep going and, mm-hmm. and get my word out there, so...
That's good. We're all very, very grateful
you.
That you did that. And would you tell our viewers where they could pick up a copy of your book?
You can pick up a copy at Amazon. I've seen it at Costco, Barnes & Noble, a lot of places like that. A lot of little bookstores around the Salt Lake Valley carries it.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly the biggest one would be Amazon.
Amazon.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I want to start out just with some questions, just kind of lead into maybe viewers who aren't familiar with who you are or haven't read your book. You were born in the FLDS group.
Yes.
How are you related to Warren Jeffs?
Warren Jeffs, I am his nephew, so he's my uncle. And
From your mother's or your father's?
My father's.
From your father's side.
Yes. I am the grandson of Roland Jeffs.
Okay. All right. Now, how many, the FLDS call it mothers, how many mothers did you have, which means how many
yeah.
wives did your father have?
Three.
He had three. And
yes.
how many brothers and sisters?
20.
Now, to somebody who's not familiar with polygamy, they would gasp and go, oh, my goodness. But that's
yeah.
really quite kind of a small family.
Yeah.
To
Relatively,
compare to some.
Yeah, pretty small inside the church, but... There was definitely never a dull moment in our family.
Yeah.
Kids running around screaming, and yeah, it was...
Yeah, so sometimes you wish for a dull moment. Now,
yeah.
my dad only had two wives, mm-hmm. and there were only 16 kids in our family, so we were even smaller. You were raised in Salt Lake City, however,
mm-hmm.
rather than in the Colorado City
yes.
Community. You attended the Altea Academy, which
yes.
we've had guests on our show before who also attended that. And it's a private school that Warren Jeff controlled
yes,
completely.
Yes, he was the principal of the school.
He was completely in control.
Yes,
what he said
absolutely.
Was
what,
law.
Exactly.
What grade were you in when you left the school? And how many kids or children, students, would you say... would be in the school during any given year?
Well, I left when I was in eighth grade. Basically, I was kind of asked to leave.
So and from first to eighth grade?
First to eighth grade, I went to that school. And at any given time, I mean, it went all the way from first all the way up to 12th grade, so there was hundreds of kids in
hundreds.
This, all packed inside this, in the meeting house / school building.
Mm-hmm.
There was even a birthing center there.
In the school building, huh?
Yeah, there was one room up in there,
Ooh.
Which I was born in that room also.
Oh, goodness.
And they had another little building right on that piece of property for like junior high and stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
but it was very packed.
So there were hundreds of children. Mm-hmm. I didn't know there were hundreds. Okay. In your book, you mentioned that they teach follow the leader without question. Now, we were also taught that, and mm-hmm. now when I think about that, I think that's pretty darn scary.
Yeah.
And I also think after studying the Bible that Jesus's followers questioned him all the time, and mm-hmm. he never rebuked them. He would yeah. answer their questions.
Absolutely.
That kind of teaching leads to mind control.
Absolutely.
And brainwashing. Yeah. Did you ever question why you shouldn't question?
Yeah. I questioned, it started when I was a little boy. My mom told me that you were one of the hardest kids to raise because you questioned everything I ever asked of you. So yeah, ever since I was little, I've always questioned and wondered why they were asking the things they were asking and telling us to do the things that we were supposed to do and without question.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect obedience, perfect faith, mm-hmm. And not have a mind of our own, not
right.
have any free thinking of ourselves.
Right. And would you say that polygamists practice brainwashing?
Absolutely, 100%.
100%. Are all of the FLDS members brainwashed?
Inside my group, yes.
Was Warren Jeffs brainwashed?
Yes. For me, I think the way he grew up and the way things were presented in front of him, he was a different individual growing up. I think that he saw an opportunity at a very young age to gain control and power over this church. I think that he saw an advantage to what he was doing and worked his way into becoming the principal of the school.
Mm-hmm.
He knew then he could get his, get his dad's right hand on doing whatever he mm-hmm. wanted to do.
Well, didn't you say his mother kind of had a hand in,
absolutely.
In pushing him forward into the
spotlight?
She
always made him a favorite.
Warren Jeffs had hundreds of students. He had a schoolroom yeah. full of school full of children, which he had access to
yeah.
to victimize.
Yeah.
In your book, and I asked you before we decided to do the show,
mm-hmm.
what you would feel uncomfortable talking about. You said, "I'll talk about anything." So
yeah.
we're gonna, and you've got it in the book. So yeah. we're gonna first of all talk about the fact that Warren Jeffs repeatedly raped you when you were just a small boy. And you've had the courage to talk about it, to bring it out in the open, and to write about it.
Yeah.
How old were you when he started his sexual assaults, and when did they stop?
I was around 5 to 6 years old, and it started on one Sunday when we were having Sunday class. It just happened to be, down in the little room in the basement of the school building where the kids were, and it started one day when he came down and grabbed my hand and escorted me down the hall into the bathroom.
He personally took your hand and
absolutely.
Led you there?
Dragged me down the hall and into the bathroom and explained to me what was going to happen. And this was God's will and this was God's work. And if I tell anybody, I'm turning my back on God and I'm going to burn in hell for what I was going to do.
Yeah. Were other family members also his victims in this?
Absolutely. My oldest brother, Clayne, was repeatedly raped, even worse than I was. And it absolutely devastated my oldest brother, Clayne. He had years and years and years of drug abuse that we could never figure out why it was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Never figure out why he could get any control of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had taken his life, we finally found out what had really happened. And now it was so real. It was so hard to even believe.
And so you believe that his suicide was directly related to this abuse.
Most of his suicide was absolutely related to what had happened to him.
Jeffs had an unlimited pool of children that he could choose from to molest.
Mm-hmm.
How many, you wouldn't know the numbers,
yeah.
but from what you know, did he molest a lot of those children? And were they both boys and girls?
Yeah, it was definitely boys and girls. As I recall back going to school, seeing kids go in and out of his room, in and out of his office. I don't have 100% fact on that, but I mean, if he's doing it to me, if he can do it to my older brother, Clayne, he's going to do it to these other kids. He's going to have access to any one of these kids.
And he did have access.
Yeah.
Not only did he have physical access, but he had mental and emotional access.
Absolutely.
Control over them.
Absolutely.
Now, Warren Jeffs gave you the reason that he was doing this to you. You mentioned in your book that this is God's way to make you into a man. I want to mention right here that many of our viewers are members of polygamy groups. They watch. Many of them watch. Many of the people who are watching either are or have been in polygamy groups, mm-hmm. and have also been molested repeatedly, mm-hmm. like you have been.
Mm-hmm.
As it's not just an FLDS problem, it's a polygamy group problem.
Absolutely.
As a society, what do you think is happening? Do you think that as a society we're falling behind and trying to arrest this kind of behavior? Do you think that the outside world just waves the problem away, not caring that's happening? Do you think that they have their heads in the sand, refusing to believe that it's happening? Yeah. Or do you think they're ignoring it, disbelieving it, or just live and let live? What do you think is happening?
Well, in this day and age, it's hard for anyone to go after anyone in religion's sake, because we're all so protected in the name of religion.
Yeah.
So many people feel like their hands are tied and they can't really do anything. But when it all comes down to it, in any form of any religion, when there's child abuse, when there's family being torn apart, kids thrown out of town at a very young age, and these underage girls getting married to these old men, you're breaking the law.
That's absolutely.
And it's wrong.
And that's what that's my premise, is that it isn't a religious issue. It's a legal issue.
Absolutely.
Totally legal. In fact, the Supreme Court's already spoken when they mentioned, ruled on polygamy. They said, you can believe however you want, but you cannot act however you want.
That's the way I feel. You can absolutely believe whatever you want to believe, but when any of those things are happening, you're breaking the law.
Absolutely. And they do what was done to you. You can't talk about it, because if you do, you're going to be in trouble with God.
Absolutely. That's a form of control over you.
Oh, it's a huge control. Do polygamy groups incubate people who are prone to this kind of sexual perversion, do you think?
I think so. I think they see that potential in that person and they keep it within the walls of the church. Absolutely. And it grows into something that can be absolutely horrible and grows into something what it is now.
Do you think that these abusers are trained by example to become pedophiles and sexual abusers?
Yes, absolutely. A lot of it is by example. And a lot of these men that abuse, it becomes such a perversion for them. No longer are these young wives something for them to have fun with. It goes beyond that. They go beyond that. You know, it just seems like it's absolutely getting out of control. And
it
it's
would.
Very sad to see.
It would. That's the nature of the sin, of the evil.
Absolutely.
Enough is never enough.
Yep.
Many is never enough. In my opinion, the fact that these atrocities are perpetrated on you and on others in the name of God renders it even more troubling. Brent, our critics, and there are many critics of this show and of this ministry, and people like you who speak out, there are polygamists, and many polygamists actually deny that these things are happening. Some of them actually mock us with contempt when we do shows like this. Yet many of us know that the sexual assaults that are happening within the polygamy groups will never be prosecuted. Because if a victim is not produced, if a victim doesn't come forward, there's no way that it can be prosecuted. At all. And I think that was
exactly right. And that's why they teach it so strongly about keeping it hush hush and under the rug. Because when people come out and say stuff, and people come out and say that I was molested and stand up for themselves and take it legally, then then they're going to be exposed.
Mm-hmm. And the fear is you're threatened by God not to expose it.
Absolutely.
So that makes it even worse.
You're threatened by the highest form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You never want to turn your back on that, because you're so scared that I was scared out of my mind to ever say anything. How could I turn my back on God?
Your parents didn't know what was going on, and people around you didn't know.
No.
If a parent, I know sometimes parents do know, but they are afraid to go forward and say,
absolutely,
my child's been assaulted.
Absolutely. And with my parents, if they would have known, they would have actually done something about it.
after reading the story about your parents, I believe they would have.
They're very strong-willed, and my dad always taught us to be free thinkers. We were very, very fortunate in our family to stand out from the crowd within that church.
And that answers a question I have later on about your father letting you be free thinkers, so we'll get to that. Is there anything more about the abuse that you would like to say before we go on? You mentally blocked this out.
Yeah, you know, when it happened to me, it felt like he took a part of my soul that I could never get back, and I just mentally blocked that out. But as I got older and finally realized that this is something that I deserve to take care of and deserve to see, you know, I did a lot of years of therapy, and it absolutely helped. It helped mm-hmm. to talk about it, and mm-hmm. it helped that, you know what, that did happen to me, and I'm not a bad person for that, and that I get to stand up and tell anyone out there that has been abused that you can talk to anyone. There are so many people out there that will help you.
And our viewers, our polygamous viewers, those
yes.
that are watching that have been.
Absolutely.
And there are some that are watching that have
yes.
been abused. Say that to them again.
Stand up. Stand up. Talk about what happened to you. Don't hold it in. This is something that this does not make you a bad person. You are a great person. And because that happened to you, you do not deserve to beat yourself up over that.
And it isn't their fault. They're not
Absolutely.
At fault for that. And I know sometimes they can have the guilt trip.
Yep.
They can be walking in the fear of God for talking about it. All of that is fake.
Absolutely.
It isn't real. What about the adults that were working in the school? Were they suspicious, or were they afraid to speak out? What do you think
was
going on with that?
I think they were so brainwashed and controlled. They were only told to do it just to teach the class, and that was it. There was nothing beyond that. And it was that way all the time. It was just exactly the direction that Warren gave them, and that was it.
And they didn't dare go against or question
Absolutely
anything.
Absolutely not.
So that's why they say, don't question your leader.
Absolutely.
Because the leader can get by with anything.
He can do anything he wants. He can tear your family apart. He can kick you out of town. He can do whatever he wants to
mm-hmm.
you.
Yeah, and he did, didn't yep. he? Warren Jeff said this was God's way. In October of this year, we did a show about physical, sexual, and emotional abuse and the effects that it has on women and children who are mm-hmm. trapped in polygamy groups and these abuses that are done in the name of God. We talked about having faith in God and that our ability to build trustworthy relationships. Do you think that developing trustworthy relationships within a polygamist environment is possible?
Yes, I do. Under the right circumstances, I think it's possible in any religion, but especially in this religion.
You think you can? I'm thinking back in my years of being raised in the polygamy group, and there's so many spies, and there's so many things that are taboo that you can't do, and
mm-hmm,
and
sure.
all that. That who could you trust?
You know, it's extremely difficult, but, you know, I think, you know, in any society, like even polygamy or any other society, you got to be open with each other, and you got to
learn to trust.
Absolutely.
What was your understanding of God as a child growing up as a result of your experience with Warren Jeffs that he told me to do this to you?
For me, God was powerful, but I always felt like, you know, why would God do this to me? This is something that hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is something that God's telling me that I should do to become a man, this is not okay for me.
Yeah.
I had a very hard time understanding why God would do something
yeah,
like that to me.
Absolutely, you would. The Bible tells us that God is love. His love for us doesn't stop. It doesn't let go. It doesn't change. It's unconditional. It's unqualified. That God's love is just there. Were you ever told that God had unconditional love for you, or was he merely a God of judgment and wrath and impossibly high expectations?
He was absolutely that person. He was a God that made sure that you were perfect in every way. They always judge you. There was always something to work on. They
yeah.
never taught us that that God was open and loving and free and let us believe in whatever we wanted to believe and do whatever we wanted to do. We were never taught that.
And you know, I wasn't either. Never was. I didn't learn that God loved me for years and years after I left the group.
It was a form of power and control, and they knew they had it over us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Are you, as you matured and you had this idea of God in your mind, were you fearful, angry, hateful, or to God, towards God, or the idea of God, or did you just dismiss Him?
Pretty much I dismissed Him out of my mind. You know, I stopped praying, I stopped doing all those things because I felt like that God was never there for me.
Yeah.
And the only thing that God represented for me was even being young was something that hurt. Mm-hmm. So I chose not to even go there.
What's your understanding of God now as that as an adult? You're past this and you're out of the polygamist environment and you understand, now you understand the abuse a little more.
For me, you know, I believe in God and I believe that, you know, I'm here on earth to have an experience and whatever experience I choose to have. I'm here to learn and I'm here to love and that's all I believe in and I'm happy with that.
Mm-hmm. So you don't hold a grudge against God? You're not angry with Him
Absolutely
at this point?
Not.
And you know that He didn't?
Absolutely.
Have anything to do with that. It was the evilness of men that did it.
Absolutely.
I recently heard from someone who had received some tapes from Warren Jeffs, not from him, but of him,
sure,
from someone
yeah.
else. And in those tapes, she listened to, she was just aghast at some of the things that were in there.
Yeah.
And she said that he actually claimed to be God. He actually said, I am God, and everything I say are words from God. Is this familiar to you?
You know, I was not in the church when that was happening, when he was talking that way. But as soon, right before I left that church, I saw that progressing into that.
Mm.
And, you know, I absolutely believe that. He had such form and control over these people. He knew if he said that, these people would 100% believe them.
Mm.
Even to this day, as he's in jail.
Is he ruling the FLDS from jail?
You know, it's really hard to say at 100% if he is, but what he's saying is getting back to these people, and they are believing that he is suffering in jail for them.
Oh, my. I have four subjects that I would like to know what you were taught about when you were growing up. The first one is, what were you taught about outsiders? Now, I've interviewed FLDS folks on this.
Sure.
It's interesting how close what I was taught and what you were taught is. But what were you taught about outsiders? Some of them say they were taught that they were all demon-possessed, especially the Mormons. Were you taught that or
not? No, we were taught that we were the chosen people and everyone outside the walls of our church were just evil people, and we were not to communicate with them.
And so the Mormons weren't singled out as being specially bad?
Yeah, no.
Good. Okay, what were you taught about hell, about the Bible, and about Jesus?
Well, we are taught about hell is if we do not follow everything in the church and all the rules that they have for us to follow, we will burn in hell.
And so they did believe in a hell?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Eternal hell?
Yes, eternal damnation is what they called it.
Okay.
And then as far as Jesus, they taught us that Jesus suffered for us and that's what we're striving to be like the most, is be perfect like Jesus.
Hmm. What about the Bible? Were you?
We never even used the Bible. We had nothing to do with the Bible. It was only the Book of Mormon.
So you never opened it up and read it? Hmm.
Mm-mm.
Interesting.
Nope.
About Jesus, I talked to a woman who, she and her husband had been kicked out by Warren a couple of years ago, and I spent an afternoon with her talking. And she, after we were done talking that afternoon, she told me that before that day, and I shared the gospel with her out of the Bible, I showed her the book, and she read the verses herself, and she was just astounded that I said, I didn't even know these verses were here. She said, I had never heard before this that Jesus died on the cross for my sins.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say that would be your experience as
absolutely.
Well?
Absolutely. We were taught that the Bible was a worldly book and that man had changed it to their own liking. And that anything in the Bible that was put in there we were not to read.
Hmm. Well, the main purpose is to know the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is that He did die for our sins, meaning that all that we try to do to pay for our sins is useless because Jesus already did it.
Mm-hmm.
And that just absolutely astounded her.
Yeah.
In your book, you said the FLDS are robotic. Would you explain that?
Well, they are trained so much and brainwashed so much over the years, they don't have a free-thinking mind of themselves. They don't have anything that represents themselves, a unique quality that they have inside themselves. They are just like robots in form, doing exactly what the leaders of the church are telling them what to do, what to say, how to dress.
How to do their hair.
Absolutely.
I noticed in the El Dorado, and sure. I was down there the first week of the raid too. A friend, Susan Schmidt, and I were down there, and we got to see some of this firsthand as well. The women that were interviewed were robotic.
Absolutely. They were trained to say exactly what these exact words that they were saying were the only ones they were allowed to say. Anything beyond that, they would be in trouble
for. They'd be in trouble if they said. And they probably couldn't have thought of anything on their own anyway, because they're trained not to.
They've never been able to
form
think for
that free thinking. Okay, folks, we are opening up the telephone lines. If you would like to call in and ask Brent a question or ask me a question about the subject matter tonight, please stick with the subject matter. We would appreciate that. Our telephone number is 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. We do have one off-the-air question as we wait for the calls to come in. Do you think the polygamous groups are a Jamestown in waiting?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a, I don't know.
Kind of an old question.
Yeah. I do believe that, but yeah, I'm not exactly sure on that one.
I think there's some.
Yeah. Not all of them, but I think some definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe that there is too as well. You mentioned also in your book that discipline was an outlet for anger.
Yes.
And
yes.
Now, I was raised in a very abusive home.
Yes.
And I saw the anger in my mother. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it was frustration, anger together. Yeah. And, of course, my dad was very abusive as well. Would you give us an example of what you meant by that in the book?
Well, in our family, too, the same thing. It was absolutely, the moms were so stressed out with all these kids running around and then having to fight over the attention of my dad that the discipline and the anger was outbursts all the time. Mm-hmm. Not my immediate mom, but one of the other moms, she was abusive daily on us for not even doing the simplest little chores, beating us with Lincoln logs and big metal spoons because we didn't do exactly what they said. And now I look back, that was absolutely a result of, you know, them being full of anxiety and stress and not knowing how to release it.
Not knowing how to handle. Because it's an unnatural lifestyle.
Absolutely.
Totally.
But
unnatural.
It's still not okay.
No, it's not. Abuse is never okay. Another saying that I have heard previously, but I'm going to ask it of you. It's in your book, and I just want your reaction to it. Girls are taught to treat boys as if they are snakes.
Absolutely.
How did that affect you and your relationship as you were growing up with and interacting with girls? And did they have a reciprocal statement to them about what boys are?
Yeah, they were told the exact same thing about boys, and you know, it always drew a question in my mind is why we were supposed to do that. Why were we not supposed to talk to these girls? But I didn't listen. I started in third grade.
You were a free thinker.
With love notes to girls. And I was up in Warren's office almost on a daily up there and him reprimanding me for going after the girls. But
you know, I was very rebellious too. And I'm wondering if only the rebellious are the ones that end up getting out.
He didn't like me too much.
The title of your book is Lost Boy. Tell us about the lost boys of the FLDS and how you became one.
Well, the lost boys out of this FLDS are these young men that are just trying to grow up and function inside the FLDS walls of the church. And what is happening, and this hasn't been going on for a whole not very long time, you know. Five to six, 7 years back.
I think 2004 is when it started.
Yeah, when this all started. And what has happened is these older men in the church are preying on these young women, and they're wanting to take these young women as wives. And so what happens is they have so much power within the church, they want to take on all these young brides. Well, all these upcoming young men, well, they're candidates for these young wives.
That's
and
right.
They do not want that competition. So they will find anything that is wrong. These young men do anything wrong whatsoever. They tell these men that they have sinned, these young men that they have sinned, And Warren tells the father that you are to take your son out to the edge of town, drop him off, and tell him that he is no longer welcome in this church and he is abandoned from this church.
And that would be as young as age 13 up to 17, 18
years
old.
Yep, and they're left to fend for themselves.
I guess my question, and we'll have to go to the phones now, but I want to ask this question first. Why was there no outrage from the public? I mean, I know there were some. I do know the news media did cover some of it. But if I took my child out and left him on the street corner and then went home la-di-da, mm-hmm. the police would be all over me.
You know, and that's a very hard question to ask. I mean, the only reason why, I don't think, because the police down in Colorado City were members of the FLDS.
But what about St. George and Hurricane and those little towns around there? They got the brunt of the...
A lot of these kids did not know how... They didn't know what to do. They didn't know that they could go to the authorities and tell them what had happened. And I think, the authorities were afraid to even try and go in there and do anything because it was something
fear.
Too big for them to handle.
And we've got that fear factor again,
absolutely.
Don't we?
Absolutely.
How sad. How terribly sad. I know, Brent, that... that where you're at and the people that you're around do have an affinity to the Lost Boys, but I want you to know that we get a lot of people who contact me and this mm-hmm. ministry and also on the phone from the show that want to help the Lost Boys. So if you ever need
that's wonderful,
if you ever
news.
Need that, just yes. let us know because we'd be happy to help you.
Yes.
Okay, we have a call here, line one, Kate from Laverkin. Hello, Kate.
Yeah.
Yes, you're on the air, Kate.
Yes.
What's your question?
Well, it's not exactly a question. I'm just saying that brainwash is brainwash, and I think your polygamous group are the same. They're the true Mormons. They're the true LDS church. I mean, when you go back to Joseph Smith's teachings, they're following his teachings, basically.
Exactly.
More than the LDS church of today is.
You're right.
Brainwash is brainwash.
Yes, it is. I know there's a lot of people that say, well, how do you can't say brainwashing and all that, but...
Yeah, I agree with her, brainwashing is brainwashing, and you're taking away their free agency, taking away, whatever you choose to believe in.
Mm-hmm. They teach free agency, but they don't practice it.
Absolutely not.
Okay, thank you for your call.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. First time I've seen your show, but I don't believe in brainwash, no matter what religion it is.
Well, that's a good thing not to believe in. Thank you. Okay, we have a call, line three, Katie from Cedar City. Hello, Katie?
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air. Hello?
Yes, this is Katie.
Yes, you're on the air. What is your question?
Well, it isn't a question, it's a statement.
Okay.
I wanted to say that before Warren Jeffs' father died, he did not leave the apostleship to Warren, his son. And when his father was living, he did not treat the people in that Twin Cities like Warren treated them. And I do know that there was a lot of young men down there who were given wives. I know that for sure, and I don't belong to that group or any other group. I just wanted to make that statement. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Katie. Would you like to make a statement to her statement?
I agree with what she's saying on that. When my father was in rule, that that did not happen, and a lot of young men was able to marry these young women. This all happened when Warren took over, mm-hmm. and my grandfather never gave Warren control over this church. When my grandfather died, Warren stood up and said, I am the prophet of the church.
But hadn't he been maneuvering his way into being able to do that mm-hmm. so that he was in place when your grandfather
died? He put himself
died.
In that perfect position for him to be able to stand up and say that he was the prophet of that church and that those people would fold and believe him.
Mm-hmm. Now, on this marrying the young boys being able to get young wives, no matter how you look at it, mathematics and polygamy doesn't match. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
What did happen to some of the, because there's always going to be more boys than girls in polygamy groups. What happened to the extra boys?
It's really hard to say. I mean, a lot of them over the years, even with my grandfather in rule, decided to leave and left,
go.
Yeah, left and leave their own lives. But, it's really hard to say what exactly what had happened, with all that. But
And some of them go out and get wives from the outside and bring them in. Did that happen often?
No, not as far as I know. Probably very rarely, but I'm sure it did happen a few times.
Yeah, it's happened some in some of the other groups too, but it's not a biggie. Okay, and off the air question: do the spirit wives draw welfare, and do the men pay back to the government? Is that how they build their temples? Well, I don't know about the only temple I know is the one that was built down in El Dorado.
Yeah.
And do you want to answer that?
That temple was built by the funding of all the people. I mean, Warren had taken everything from these people, everything that they had made. I mean, their companies and built this temple for him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very sad to even see that temple and know that he's taken everything away from these families and built something for himself.
Oh, when they entered the temple the way they did, the police.
Yes.
The remark was made by the FLDS that temple was now absolutely, totally put out of commission. They couldn't use it now because it had been defiled.
Yeah, defiled for sure.
Is there any cleansing or anything that they would do, a ritual cleansing to?
Yeah, and to what degree, I don't know. That's a scary thing to think about. I don't know how they would do the cleansing, but, you know, there's a lot of stories and hearsay about what really went on inside those temple walls with, you know, stories about the incinerator there and things like that. But
yeah.
I don't know to what degree they would do that, too.
I wonder if the truth will come, hopefully at some point, come out.
Yes.
Okay, line two, Sarah from Tooele. Hello, Sarah.
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, I was wanting to ask Mr. Jeff.
Yes.
I know that he was raised in Salt Lake City under the whole polygamous group there. And I was wondering, like on the fictional TV shows and stuff, if there are any polygamous suburban people or polygamous families that are in suburbia that still, like, are active in the FLDS church or, like, on the fictional shows. Is that really true?
Like Big Love, right? Is that?
Well, yeah, I didn't want to say the name.
It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I know of a few different little organizations that are all over the valley that choose to live polygamy, that kind of just do their own thing and don't stand out.
But there's actual polygamy families in the valley.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. They're all over the valley.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there are. There's a lot of what they call independent polygamists, where they don't have a community, they don't have a prophet, but they do practice it.
And they just kind of function as their own religion?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They just kind of follow their own rules on that and live the laws of polygamy for themselves.
There's a lot of polygamists that belong to the All Red group that live in the valley. There's a lot of polygamists who belong to the Kingston group who live in the valley, and there's other groups as well who live here.
Wow, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
A lot of them. Thousands of them.
I am sorry to hear about everything, and I will just always pray for you forever.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. Uh-huh. Bye. We do appreciate your prayers. That's nice to hear. Okay. Your father had fought in the Vietnam War, and this goes back to the free thinking.
Sure.
He was dependent on people who were not part of the group for his life, his very
life.
And they fought with each other and for each other against a common enemy. So when he came back home, he knew how to think for himself.
Yeah.
And it was too late for somebody to mind control him to the extent as if he hadn't been there. Because of this, and you partially answered this a little earlier, were you encouraged in the privacy of your home to think for yourself, to form independent decisions, to form opinions of your own, and to practice critical thinking?
Probably not all of those, but for the most part, our dad taught us to think for ourselves and to be unique, to be ourselves and not be afraid to be that person. And no matter what that was, he always accepted us and respected us for that. And that was an amazing thing for us to be able to do that.
It sounds like you had a great relationship with your father.
Yes, he was.
The while you were growing up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are times when he has to be a father and play his father role,
sure.
But for the most part, absolutely.
And you respect a father that does.
Yeah, he did the very best that he could in the situation that he was in, and having three wives and 20 kids. I don't know that I could ever handle something like that, but he did a very good job as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. It sounded like he did. I enjoyed reading that part of your story. Okay, we have Kim from Salt Lake on line one. Hello, Kim.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello, you're on the air, Kim.
All right, thanks. I just had a question. The raid that they did in Texas not too long ago, to me, it just seemed really sad that the families were all broken up and everything over. They found no evidence of abuse or anything in there. And I was wondering if you thought that that's a good way to go about it, or if there's, what would be the best way to go about bringing help to these families that are actually kind of abusive?
That's a very tough question to ask. As far as what they did in taking these children and these women out of the temple, I think they did the right thing. They were trying to take them out of a situation that was portrayed as child abuse, something that was highly illegal and not okay with the state of Texas. So I believe that they did the right thing. They did not find that really happened, but you know what? These people, they cover it up so well.
Yes, absolutely do.
And they brainwash these people into telling lies and lies and lies, but it does go on in there. And this actually woke them up and helped them realize that if you guys continue this, then this will all be over for you.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And there was.
It's really sad because I can't imagine having my children taken away, but at the same time, how else are they ever going to find out what's really going on?
There are some people who look at this El Dorado rather than a raid. They think it or refer to it as a rescue attempt, which I think is really a better way to label it.
I think so. The same thing. I mean, they're just taking them out of a bad situation that was portrayed into them. They're doing what they were supposed to do.
Right.
It was very traumatic for these kids to be separated from their mothers, but they were trying to do it in the name of protecting the kids.
I also know from, and I can't give any details, of course, but from the having the ministry and letting them know that we would help, mm-hmm. there were women who wanted to run.
Oh, absolutely.
And didn't want to be sent back to the ranch.
I felt the same way when I was down there in Texas. I heard these few stories of these women that, now that this is all blown wide open, this was their chance to finally run, finally talk to somebody, get help.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately,
and some of them did.
Yeah,
some
a of lot did. Of them stayed, but you know what? Some of them got away.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So is there really anything that a person can do to help children in those situations? Or?
Well, the only thing we can do out here is to hold our arms wide open and let them know that we're here to help them if any of them want to come out and talk. As far as inside this, inside the walls of the church, there's really nothing we can do.
Yeah, it's really sad for the really young ones. So.
Yeah.
It is, and they grow up to be...
All right, well, thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Thanks for calling. And they do, they grow up to be victims. They're victims now, they grow up to victimize some of them, like Warren Jeffs did. All right, we have line three, LB from Utah County. Hello?
Yes, I have a comment and a question.
Okay.
First of all, I think it's fantastic that people can even get away with all the stuff that you're talking about. Somebody feels like they're a prophet that can control people like this, and then the people that are controlled, it's amazing to me. I don't even begin to understand how anybody can fall for such a thing. So I'm pretty amazed at that. And so as an agnostic, I'm curious, what's going to happen? What will everything be like 50 years down the road, 100 years down the road? What is the the purpose of all this control?
Well, it's every person's unique personal vendetta to have power over these people. This was Warren's goal from day one, is to have power over these people. It's really hard to say 50 to 100 years down the road what's really going to happen within this church. I mean, it's every unique prophet and what they decide to do at the time.
Well, if one thing I'd like to intervene here is, if polygamy isn't stopped, how do you think it's going to mushroom? I mean, these men have 20, 30, 40. Yeah. I know some who have over 100, 200 kids. Yeah. How is it going to mushroom?
It's going to take someone with high enough authority and high enough power to absolutely put a stop to it.
To put a stop to it. Yeah. That's the only way.
It's crazy.
Yes.
Why don't people see the craziness of such a thing? It's fantastic. Anybody would even fall for such a thing. Someone who feels that they're that powerful, or someone who ends up being goaded into it. It's fantastic.
Well, you know, sir, it takes...
I can't believe it, is what I'm saying.
It takes people... this is supposed to be a government of the people and by the people. It takes people to pressure our authorities to do something about it. And like we talked about earlier, it just seems like that all they want to do is turn their head and pretend like it's not happening.
Yeah.
But why doesn't the individual understand how crazy it is?
They're brainwashed.
It's so fantastic to think that somebody has the authority over you.
They're brainwashed, sir. They are brainwashed.
But once you understand that that's what it is, you
don't understand.
You walk away.
It's
control.
People are born and raised and die in these groups, and they never know they're brainwashed. When you are brainwashed from the cradle,
absolutely,
you don't know you're brainwashed. You think this is normal and natural, the way things are supposed to be.
Yeah, everything that they teach you.
I can understand that, and I do have a lot of respect for the both of you for having gone through what you've gone through and then getting out of it, okay? But as someone who's on the outside and sees this going on, I can't believe it. It's utterly fantastic that any of these things even happen.
Well, tell your state authority. Tell our authority in the state and in the Senate and in the government. Start your own active group about it.
Okay. Well, very good. It's always very interesting. Good luck to the both of you.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Okay, we have an off-the-air question. Will the FLDS run to Mexico if pressed by the U.S. authorities?
They do have land, is what I heard already down there, so look where they've already gone.
The AUB has land down there, too.
I do believe if they're pushed hard enough, they'll go down there.
They might do that, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay. Off-the-air question, how do you feel about the LDS and the differences between the FLDS and the LDS? Is there much difference besides polygamy?
I think there are a few differences, but as far as I'm concerned, I kind of, the LDS, as long as they, I'm okay with whatever they decide to believe and whatever they want to do for their beliefs. I really don't want to badmouth anyone in that, but it's quite the same,
mm-hmm.
but just a few differences.
No. LDS, 150 years ago, basically the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Another off-the-air question. What is the FLDS Church worth, and where do they get all, and I think it's going to say their resources or their money?
I heard the land down there and everything they have is like $100 million. I might be wrong, but they do get all their money from these men inside the church that have owned these huge construction companies, these big, huge, successful businesses. They sell out and give it all into the profit and pour mm-hmm. into this huge bucket of money or this funding like the UEP, the United Effort
mm-hmm.
Plan,
mm-hmm.
and that's where they get all their money. They get mm-hmm. these men running these construction groups where all of these young boys are working for them and not even getting paid. So they're making money hand
mm-hmm.
over fist.
Mm-hmm. Same with some of the other groups.
Yeah.
Okay, we have on line 2, Don from Bountiful. Hello, Don.
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air. You're on the air.
Hi, Doris. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you.
I just wanted to call in and commend Brent for his guts to stick up.
Thank you.
For what is right and to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know where to get his book.
You can get my book on Amazon. That is probably the best place I can tell you to get it because it's in stock there.
Okay.
Barnes and Noble.
How can we help these young men that are lost? You know, these lost boys. How can you help these people? Is there people you can contact to help them?
Yes, there is a Diversity Foundation in which I'm tied in with. Which we help these lost boys kind of when they leave, and we kind of help them land on their feet, get a job, and find a place to live. And
well, you're certainly doing a wonderful job to educate people, and I think polygamy is wrong. It's It's horrible. I think people need to know the truth, and you're one of the people that can and tell the truth and help us.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
You're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you, Don. We appreciate your call and your encouragement.
Thank you, Doris.
And we also help anybody that needs help from a polygamy group, whether it's Lost Boys or an escaping women with kids or whatever. We also do that.
I see. All right. Well, okay. I appreciate your show.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Okay, it's getting about time to wind down. We have one more off-the-air question we'll try and get to real quickly. Do opposing polygamy groups put out hits on other groups' profits, like the gang wars, I guess? They used to, but I don't know if they do anymore.
As far as these days, I've never heard of anything like that happening. I don't know.
It's been a long time. I think the LeBaron group were the ones that did that most of the time. And there's been a few threats now and again of blood atonement from the FLDS group. That has come, but I wonder sometimes, is that more of a threat than it is
nowadays,
an actuality?
Absolutely just a threat, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would really like to thank you for coming tonight, Brent.
Thank you very much. It's been very
pleasant. Maybe sometime in the future you can come back and we can finish our questions. Of course, we never get through all of our questions. And Michelle from Provo, we're at the end of the show, and so if you want to leave your phone number, I'll call you back, or I can get you in touch with Brent if your question is for him. And I'd like to make some closing comments about the show tonight. Someone who was involved in education in the early 20th century made these remarks. He said, "No one is more truly helpless or more completely a victim than he who can neither choose nor change nor escape his protectors." And I would like to add to that by saying, those who are keeping you in bondage are probably the ones who are calling themselves your protectors. They slander God by using His name to promote blind obedience, fear, and shame and guilt. And they use His name to abuse you and to rape and to kill your mind and your soul. But please know this. God keeps no one under His thumb. That's what men do. He keeps us rather in the safety of His hands. When I ran away from the polygamy group, I also ran away from God, because I had been taught terrible things about Him, and so I ran from Him, not to Him. But I finally found out that God's love is beyond measure, and that He wanted me. He didn't want polygamy, and that to know Him is to love Him. Unfortunately, many people who leave polygamy groups did the same thing that I did. They'll either run from God, or they'll run and jump into some other religious belief system without checking it out, and find themselves under someone else's protective captivity. We want you to know the truth. It's the truth that sets you free. It isn't religion, and it certainly isn't polygamy. Colossians 1:27 says that our only hope of glory is Christ in us, and Christ indwells only those who surrender their lives to Him. And He should, because He died for you. May you bow your head, your heart, and your knee to Him forever, beginning tonight. Good night.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes, as well as download audio episodes of this program, at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org, or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email@whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again.